Christ, believe in Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your helps that we get all the time. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for making your will known to us. Thank you for defending us in the battles of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your words, your words of promises and prophecies that are coming to pass in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace that fills our hearts and minds. Thank you for the joy that we have in your presence. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you have been teaching us through these Bible study classes. Thank you for impossible things you have made possible unto us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for helping us to be and do all that your word teaches us to do. Thank you for giving us a heart that fears you and honors you. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here once again, Lord, to learn at your feet, to understand more than we know before. I ask that you speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Take away every barrier in our minds and in our hearts that don't want us to learn from you and grow spiritually. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, have your way in this place and let your name be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for I know you are going to do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at another topic today. And the topic says the realm of faith is the realm of angels. The realm of faith is the realm of angels. You know that this topic is a point under the subheading. The subheading says discerning the realm of God and his angels. Yeah, and also the realm of God's angels. You know, so that's the topic. The realm of faith is the realm of angels. If we can have faith, then we will see the angels of the Lord in action. If we can demonstrate faith, then we will see the angels of the Lord in action. I pray for you that you will fearlessly demonstrate great faith this time, so that you can see great angelic interventions in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. Verse 19 to 20. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 20. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" Yeah, we're referring to the demon in the demon inside a child that was brought for prayers. Yeah. So they were surprised that they broadcast out that demon, even though they were able to cast out some demons before this incident. So they came to Jesus to ask him to kind of understand why they were not able to cast out the devil. Now, verse 20, Jesus said, and Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." Yeah, Jesus told them the reason that it was because of their unbelief. He went further to say, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Jesus told them that if they have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, that they will speak to a mountain and tell the mountain to move to another place, and the mountain will move. If they have faith as small. And I think a mustard seed is even smaller than a grain of rice. Yeah, many of you are conversant with rice, a grain of rice. So I believe a mustard seed is even smaller than a grain of rice. Yeah, and the Bible says, if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, and that mountain will be. Yeah, it says, I mean, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible on when he was showing them how it's important to also pray a lot and fast a lot for you to have the kind of authority that can cast out strong demons, like the kind of demons the disciples couldn't cast out from that child. Yeah, but the most important thing is faith. Yeah, before you pray and fast, you need faith first. Yeah, that was why the first thing Jesus talked about was faith, before he now went further to talk about fasting and prayer in verse 21. Yeah, so everything comes down to faith. Everything about God's manifestation on earth comes down to faith. Everything about deliverances, miracles, healings, seeing the move of God, seeing signs and wonders happen. It all comes down to faith. Yeah, so you must have faith if you will see God's angels operate in your life and through your life. You must be a Christian that is full of faith. You must be full of faith. Yeah. Because it's not you that is going to move the mountain. I mean, the mountain Jesus was referring to here. It's not you that will move the mountain. Yeah, God already has positioned his angels to respond to the faith of people. So the angels are waiting for your faith. Without faith, they will not do anything. Yeah, because angels, they feed on your faith. Yeah, angels feed on our faith as Christians. Or maybe I should say, the fuel of angels is our faith. Yeah, your faith gives them the fuel to operate. Your faith gives angels the energy to operate. Not only that, your faith commands them to operate. Yeah, so when they see your faith, they take actions immediately. They respond to faith. So the realm of faith is the realm of angels. Yeah. Everywhere on earth, as I'm speaking right now, there are angels of God positioned, and they are looking for people that will demonstrate faith in God, faith in Jesus. So once they smell faith anyway, they rush to that place, ready to take action. Yeah, once they smell faith. Yeah, so if you don't have faith, you are the one that is losing. Yeah, you're the one that is losing. Is not God is not losing. It's you that is losing. And it's you used to have faith. Yeah, nobody is going to suffer. It's just you. Yeah, some people, they think, they think that their faith is profiting someone. Yeah, they think their faith is profiting maybe the man of God or profiting God. So they are waiting for somebody to beg them to have faith. Yeah, they are waiting for somebody to encourage them and talk and talk. Brother, please have faith. Sister, please have faith. Yeah, God is faithful. Believe in Him, He will help you. So they are waiting for ministers of God to talk and talk and talk and advise them and counsel them before they will have faith. Because they think their faith will profit because they are counseling them. It's a lie. It is you that gains when you believe in God and you demonstrate your faith in God. Yeah, it doesn't add anything to God. I mean, your unbelief doesn't take anything away from God. It doesn't reduce God. Yeah, and your faith doesn't add anything to God. Yeah, it only adds a lot of things to you. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yes, it is you who benefits when you have faith. No one else but you. Yeah. Yeah, so it's for your own good. Yeah, somewhere the Bible said that our home belief does not change the faithfulness of God. Our unbelief does not change who God is. So the fact that you don't believe that you can be healed doesn't change the fact that God heals all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Yeah. So your unbelief doesn't change the truth about who God is. Yeah. So if you believe, it's for your own good. Yeah, so those of us that walk by faith, yeah, and we are seeing the results of faith, it's benefiting us. But anyone can choose not to have faith. Yeah, and it will not benefit them. So it's not going to help someone else. Your faith is going to help you first. Yeah. It's going to help you first. So you are doing yourself great good by trusting in God. You're not doing anyone any favor. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will help you to have faith. Yeah. I'm not saying that we can't have faith from other people. I'm not saying others cannot benefit from our faith. Yeah. But before others benefit from your faith, you are the first to benefit. Yeah, it changes your life first before it will change the life of others. So you have a lot to gain by believing in God, and then you have a lot to lose by not believing and trusting in the Word of God. I pray that the Lord help you. this isn't the Bible. We people had feet, and they saw the mighty acts of God. Yeah, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings 18. I'm going to read from 35 to 36, from verse 35 to 36 first, then I'll still read another place. This is the king of Assyria talking here. His name was Sennacherib. That was the name of this king. He was threatening the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Yeah. He was threatening them because he wanted them to bow unto him. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 35 to 36, who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Yeah, this man was boasting that he has attacked many countries and the gods of those countries could not deliver the countries out of his hand. Yeah, so he was now saying that, who is the Lord, the Almighty God, to deliver Jerusalem out of his hand? Yeah, so he was challenging the God that Ezekiah serves, and that is the living God, the Almighty God. Yeah, so he was saying, who is that God that would deliver Jerusalem out of his hand? In verse 36, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. So the king already told the people that don't answer him in a word. Yeah, because there is someone that will answer him. The one that is defying or despising, that is the God that will answer him. Yeah, so when situations of life comes to threaten your faith in God, don't speak according to that threatening. Don't start shaking. Don't start shivering. No. Yeah, it's better you don't see anything than you start becoming it's better you keep quiet than saying things that shows that you are fearful things out of fear. Yeah, if you know whatever you will say at that time is going to be against faith, just keep quiet and don't say anything. Yeah, I mean, when negative situations in life come to threaten the God that you serve, don't respond fearfully to the threats. Don't respond fearfully. Yeah, it's better you just keep quiet than to start saying words that is against your faith in God. Because immediately you start speaking and reacting in a faithless manner, it means you have lost the battle. It means those situations will crush you and conquer you. Yeah. But when you refuse to react the way the situations want you to react, the way the enemy wants you to react, that is when you overcome them. That is when you overcome in those situations. You overcome the enemy, and the plans of the enemy will be terminated. Yeah. So the people here, they refuse to talk. Yeah, because what that man, Sennacherib, was saying is actually true. He had attacked many countries and had wasted them. Yeah, he had conquered many countries. Yeah. So what he was saying is able to make the people scared. In fact, I'm sure many of them were scared, but because the king already gave them the order, none of you should talk. Yeah, none of you should talk. And so when you are scared, don't talk. When you are full of doubt, don't talk negative. Just keep quiet and go into prayer, or start studying the word of God. Start doing something that will build your faith. Yeah, don't talk when doubts and fears are prevailing in your mind. Don't talk negative. Go into prayer and let your faith rise before you talk. Yeah, now let's move to another. Placed in this 2 Kings, the next chapter, 2 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read to you what Hezekiah did after they gave him the letter from the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14 to 19. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. When he got the bad news, he didn't start rolling on the ground crying. He didn't start saying, "What have I done wrong for this kind of evil to come upon me?" Yeah, instead of blaming God, he went into the house of the Lord. He went into the presence of the Lord to pray. Yeah. So what do you do when you maybe receive a bad news? What do you do in a negative situation? How do you respond? Yeah, do you start thinking and saying, and you know, I begin to say, why is it that I am the most unfortunate person in the world? Why is it that others are not suffering and I am the only, I am always suffering? Why must this happen to me? Have I not been praying enough? Have I not been fasting enough? What is going wrong with my life? So this man, Ezekiel, was not doing anything like that. Yeah, he was very wise. Yeah, let us look at what he did. Yeah, and Ezekiel received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Ezekiel went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Yeah, he spread that letter before the Lord. And Ezekiel prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Yeah, so he began to praise God. Yeah, he said, only you is God. In all the kingdoms of the earth, only you is God. Meaning that he's saying every other God, they are not God. They are nothing. That only you, the God of Israel, is God. Because only you made heaven and earth. Yeah, in verse 16, he said, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him to reproach the living God. Verse 17, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. So he was telling God that it is true that this man really has power. And this man have conquered many countries. Yeah. But he's saying that I disagree that this man will come to my own kingdom and overcome us. Yeah. So he said, I know that this man has conquered many places, many nations. But I refuse to agree. And he will come here and do the same thing. Yeah, so if some people are saying a certain problem came into their lives and wasted their lives. Yeah. And then you begin to see similar problem coming into your life. Yeah, and they start thinking, oh, they said this problem used to destroy people's lives. And they start becoming fearful. That is wrong. Yeah. So the fact that the devil has done the same damages to others doesn't mean he has the right to come and do the same in your life. Yeah, the fact that some maybe witchcraft agents or witch doctors or some people who are into occultism have successfully destroyed the lives of some people. Yeah, doesn't mean they can come into your life and do the same. Yeah. If you surrender, then they will do the same. But if you refuse, as this man refused, they can't have their ways. Yeah. So in verse 19, he said, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou holy." You can see that prayer? He said, "O Lord, come and save us out of the hand of this wicked man, to show the whole world that you alone is God, that beside you there is no other God." And God heard that prayer. Praise the Lord. Yeah. God heard that prayer. In verse 35, you are going to see what happened. Verse 35. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Yeah, just one angel entered into the camp of the enemy and smote let me get the number. That is 185,000. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Just in one night, the angel of the Lord killed that number of soldiers. So when we really demonstrate faith, angels take action. Yeah. Just as the angel of the Lord took action here, when you demonstrate faith, angels take action. Yeah. I'm not talking about the kind of faith that have second option. Yeah, I'm talking of the kind of faith that have no other option. Yeah, so when your faith have a second option, that is, you already are looking at another thing you can do if God did not move very fast, or if God did not do what you're asking him to do, you're really looking at another option you can follow, or something else you can do if God delays or God did not do what you want, which is wrong. I mean, which is not true. There's no way you will have faith and God will not move. Yeah, but because of your unbelief, you have created another option. And you are like, let me wait for 3 days. If God did not do anything, I'll just go ahead and do this one. Yeah, so that is not the kind of faith that will move angels into action. Yeah, not a faith with second options. Yeah, but a faith with no option. That is, does either God help you or you perish? Either God help you or you die. That is a no option faith. Now, that is, you are not ready to take any other option. Yeah, it's either God help you or you will be shamed or you'll be put to shame. Yeah, so when God sees that you are that desperate in your faith, there's no how you will not move. There's no how. Especially if you're asking him to do what is in line with his will for your life. There's no how you will not move. So the problem with Christians of this time is that we have second options. Yeah, that's our problem. We have second options. So we are not ready to trust God fully. Yeah, we are not ready to trust God fully. So if we feel like God is delaying, we already have some ways to go about what we want. Yeah, we are not willing to wait on God because we trust him that he will not fail. Yeah, so that is the problem with the faith of many believers in the church today. But this man, Ezekiel, was not going to give up. Yeah, if it were another king, because that king, Sennacherib, that king was laying down some rules, or was making some demands. Yeah, that they have to do some things for him. If they don't, he's going to invade the country and kill you. Yeah. If it was some other kings, they would say, please, they would, you know, start talking to the chiefs and the officers. And start thinking of, I think we should just agree to the terms of this person. We don't want to die. Yeah. If it were other kings that don't know their God, they would be thinking of how to surrender to the enemy. And maybe we should just go and beg this person and do what he wants. But Ezekiel was not going to surrender. He called to the Lord for intervention. And God sent help. Yeah, because he had no other option. Yeah, he had no other option. Or he was not going to take any other option than to trust in the Lord. Yeah, and God responded. I pray that as you demonstrate faith like this one, may the Lord release his angels into your life to do mighty miracles. In Jesus' name. dans l'esprit dans la scripture. That the teacher's faith. Faith in the Lord. First Samuel. Yeah, I believe you're opening your Bible. First Samuel. Chapter 17. Some of you are familiar with this story. Yeah, the story of David and Goliath. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 42 to 46. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine. Yeah, I want you to pay attention. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you all know the end of the story. Just a stone killed the giant Goliath. But my emphasis is on the response of David to the Philistine. Yeah. David stood in faith in the name of the Lord. Yeah, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yeah, not in my name. You know, the Philistine was coming in his name. Yeah. Because he had a reputation. He's a warrior. The man is a warrior. The giant. He has a reputation of killing a lot of people. To the point that he said, the armies of Israel should provide their champion, yeah, to come and fight him. So he was so sure of himself. Yeah. So he has a name to be, you know, to be, he has a name that is known some strength or I have some military training. Yeah. Even if I have, it was not coming in his name. David was not coming to fight him in his name or in his strength. Yeah. He said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. So when we fight the enemy, we are not fighting in our name, in our names. When we face the enemy, we don't face the enemy in our name. We face the enemy in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yeah, that is, you put him in the front. Yeah. I don't know if you understand. Yeah. In verse 47. In verse 47. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Yeah, that was what he said. So he told him that it is not evil men that is going to fight you. It is my God that will fight you. Yeah, so to fight the enemy in the name of the Lord means you put the enemy, you put your God first. Yeah, like your God stand first. And then you stay at the back. Yeah, I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, he said, for the battle is the Lord. No, it was David that slung the stone. But it was not David that killed Goliath. Yeah, David slung the stone. But it wasn't David that killed Goliath. So God was in the stone. Yeah. God was in the stone. Yeah, all that David did is to sling the stone. So when you face the enemy in the name of the Lord, it is no longer you that is fighting. It is your God that is fighting. Yeah, so anything you say is no longer you that say that word. It is your God that is saying it. Because you are facing the enemy in the name of the Lord. Yeah, and Jesus already told us to do a lot of things in his name. He said, go out there and pray for the sick in my name. Yeah. He said, when you pray to God, pray in my name. So we have been given the greatest weapon against darkness, the name of the Lord. But some of you still belittle to that name. Yeah. May God forgive you. Yeah, you still think of that name to be just a small thing. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you just see it as a normal thing or a common thing. Yeah, we pray in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's how we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. You don't know how powerful it is to face the enemy in the name of the Lord. So you think it's just Yo soy el simple thing, el normal thing, a common thing. Yeah, I know you just say it, and after you have said it, you're still looking at what can I do to solve this problem. You just prayed. You just say, in the name of Jesus, let this problem leave my life. You just said that, and then after you've made that declaration, You're still looking at what you can do to solve the problem. Then it means you don't even know the name of the Lord. Yeah. It means you don't know the name of the Lord. How can you just pray in the name of the Lord? And then the next thing you're looking for, how to solve the problem. Then why did you tell the Lord to solve the problem? If you already know how to solve it, why not just go ahead and solve it and leave the Lord out of it? You know, if you know the way out of your problems, why did you pray that God should rescue you? If you know you can fix the problem, why did you put God about it in the first place? You should have just left God alone and go ahead and fix it. Yeah, but if you prayed because you believe that God can fix it, then why not just stay there and let Him fix it? Why looking for how to fix it again? I'm showing you how we make a lot of mistakes, and yet we do a lot of fastings and prayers, and we see no results. Because you are the one destroying your results. Yeah. Because you belittle your God. Yeah. You belittle your God. And that is why fasting is not working. And your prayers are not working. You don't even know that the name of the Lord is so powerful. Yeah, this is Old Testament that I've read to you. Jesus has not even died in this place. And David already got a revelation of the name of the Lord. And he faced Goliath with the name of the Lord. And he conquered. So now in this dispensation, Jesus has died, shed His blood, resurrected, ascended to heaven. Now we even have greater authority. And yet you think the name of the Lord is just something small. No, it's not small. It's mighty. Yeah, and it's not working in your life because you don't really know how mighty it is. Yeah. I pray that the Lord help you to pray the right way. In Jesus' name. Pray the Lord will help you to pray in His name in the right way, with the right heart, and with the right faith. In Jesus' name, let us move to another scripture. But I believe you already have seen from this scripture that it wasn't David that killed Goliath. That it was God. Yeah, because David faced Goliath in the name of the Lord, not in His name. Though David had some experiences, but he wasn't relying on those experiences. He had experience to have killed the lion, killed some wild animals, tempted by the animals. But he wasn't trusting in that experience. In fact, when he killed those animals, he believed it wasn't even him. He believed it was God that killed those animals, that it wasn't him. May the Lord help you to not trust in your strength when you are fighting the enemy. May the Lord help you to trust in him. In Jesus' name. Now let's read another scripture in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 18 to 20. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, unto the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. When the angel appeared to Zacharias, the angel did not mention his name. The angel appeared in verse 11. The angel did not mention his name. But when the angel was going to carry out judgment on Zacharias, because he did not believe, the angel now mentioned his name. I said the topic is the point we are dealing with is the realm of faith is the realm of angels. So when the angel came to give that good news, the angel came with the realm of faith. The realm that angels are is a realm of faith. Angels don't have any single doubt in their minds as they go about doing God's mission. They have no single doubt or fear in their minds. So the angel expected that as Zacharias saw him, his faith should rise. His faith should be strong. But he saw a different thing. Because the angel could read his mind that he did not believe. Maybe he was even thinking, I don't even know, maybe this is a demon that is trying to deceive me. I'm sure Zechariah was thinking something that made the angel pronounce that judgment upon him. Maybe he was thinking, how can an angel be telling me that? And we have a child in this my old age. Maybe he was thinking that. Maybe not even a spirit from God. Maybe it's just a demon that that decided to look like an angel from God. It was at that point the angel now mentioned his name. Yeah. Because he have to take responsibility for that judgment. Yeah, because when he gets back to God, he will tell God that I met a man. The man you said I should go and deliver a message to. I met that man, and the man refused to believe. But the miracle have to be done. So I have to do something to make him believe by force. Yeah, because we must have faith for angels to operate. Yeah. So when the angel saw the man and he realized that there's no faith here, and he knows that the miracle must happen. Yeah. So he had to execute judgment, so that eventually the man will be forced to believe. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yeah, so he had to carry out the judgment. So he did the judgment by his own authority, because he has the authority to do that as one of the angels that stands in God's presence. He has the authority to give him or make him dumb. Yeah. Let me read it again. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. That is because you can't believe my message. You will be dumb. You will not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Yeah. So to connect with angels, you have to be full of faith. Yeah. To discern the realm of angels, you have to be a man of faith. You have to be a woman of faith. Yeah. And you can also see from this passage that it is a sin to not believe God. There is a sin that brings judgment. That is why you will see God blessing people in a program, in a meeting. He will bless some people, and then some people will not be blessed. Yeah, it's not that God don't want to bless those the others that are not blessed. It is because God is looking for something from them, and they are not giving God that thing. And that is faith. Yeah. That is faith. Some people, they can only believe what they can understand. If you tell them that God said something is going to happen, something big is going to happen to them tomorrow, they will want to understand it first before they believe. They will want to calculate it with their brain. You said this is going to happen tomorrow? How is that possible? They will start calculating with their mind. Okay. Is it going to come through that direction? How will it come? How will it happen? They want to understand move of God. Don't understand the operations of God before they believe. Yeah. That is wrong. Yeah, you don't need to understand. Just believe. Yeah, you don't need to understand how it will happen. Just believe. Yeah. Angels are waiting for your feet. Yeah. They are waiting for your feet. I pray that you will start demonstrating the kind of feet your angels are waiting for. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So I'm going to stop here. Then we'll continue next Tuesday. If you have any question, you can ask on our Telegram group. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for showing us from your word that the realm of faith is the realm of your angels. Thank you for showing us how much we must walk in faith for us to see your mighty miracles happen in our lives and situations. Thank you for giving us examples of men who, through faith, saw great interventions, great angelic interventions. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as many here whose feet are still shaking, I pray that you help them to be stabilized and strong in faith in the name of Jesus. I pray, O Lord, that you help them to demonstrate the faith you have been waiting for them to demonstrate before you will bless them and change their stories. Lord, help them to demonstrate such faith at this time in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.